Welcome, everyone, to the Boca in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero, and I'm joined by Facundo Salazar from Miami. How you doing, Facu?
Hey, Gabby. How are you doing?
It's been a while, buddy. It's been a while. I'm doing great. Francisco Aude joining us from Buenos Aires. How you doing, Fran?
Hey, Gabby. Hey, Facu. Hello, everyone, guys around the globe. How are you?
It's been a while since we've last spoken, but it's good to be back. I think it's been like, what, 5-6 weeks, something like that?
Yeah. At least in my case, I think I wasn't present in the last podcast, but well, here we are back. I missed you guys. I missed you a lot.
And when I say we haven't spoken, I mean in terms of the podcast, because obviously we speak every day. But in terms of the podcast, it's been a couple of weeks. But I mean, what else is there to do? There's really not much to speak about. The market is moving slow. Everything in terms of football is moving slow, at least in South America, not so much in Europe. That's progressing quite well. So to get started, Diario Le, let's go ahead and talk about that.
Did you do anything on the weekend with them?
I did. Hanging out
is forbidden, so
I did, yeah. So I'm gonna explain that story because I did get a couple of messages from a couple of listeners, you know, that speak English, that don't read Spanish, and they wanted me at least to translate the whole article. And I said, you know what, I think it's easiest. I think it's best to just talk about it on the next podcast. So let's go ahead and do that. So I received a message from Leandro Contento, who's one of my favorite journalists, at least from Diario Le, because I don't follow too many of them. But Leandro Contento always has some pretty interesting news. He's always tweeting about future aspects of La Bombonera and stuff like that, and pretty cool stuff that information other journalists don't have. So he reached out to me. And remember, Francisco, I asked you, hey, did you give my phone number to Leandro Contento? And you replied saying, no, it wasn't me.
No, I didn't.
Because I'm not too fond of my number just being at least ask first, but it wasn't you. So I was like, whatever. Then I found out it was one of the awesome guys over at Cadena Senese who gave him my phone number. And he was interested in learning more about the podcast, learning more about the group, this little project that we have going on. So I said, okay, awesome. What do you want to know? And he said, basically, I would like to interview you. We're going to put it online, an article online. It might be on the paper as well. He didn't guarantee me that it was going to be on the paper. That was still being debated. I guess it really depended on the amount of information or how the interview process went. So I said, all right, perfect. He asked for a date and a time that we could record. We agreed on Sunday, 2 p.m. here in New York. I sent him a picture for the article. And at 2 p.m., he called me and we started chatting. He asked me basically how I started the project. You know, I told him that, the whole interest, everybody was interested in learning more, not only about Boca, but the final from 2018 and all that. He asked me a lot about my background, family, where I come from, where I was born, all these different types of questions. And I don't know if you guys, I'm pretty sure you guys read the article. Francisco, I know you went ahead and bought it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I have the paper next to me, actually. I have it about 2 meters away from me. Right now I'm looking at the cover of the newspaper. Yeah.
So why don't you explain that? Well, what do you see on the newspaper?
Okay, I'll just go in and take it, but basically, well, the cover is on the news on Sunday about Leo Messi and all his looks, and on page 11 next to the information on the future of Sebastián Pérez and the situation of the foreign player slots. Then we have a whole page with the title "This is Boca," translating into English, the famous call of "Esto es Boca," twisted from Boca to Boca. The big paragraph says that Gabriel Agüero is born to Argentinian parents in the United States. He's 25 years old, and for almost 2 years he has been hosting a fan media 100% in English. Come and have a look to his peculiar story. And then I see a picture of a guy with a nice beard on the stadium wearing the 2002 shirt. And then the picture speaking on a podcast. And some explanation, the conversation with Gabe, some quotes on him, the name of our Twitter account, CABJ_English. And the story of all of us who are involved, myself, Facundo, Nico Cantor, and our friend Nico Miremont, who is also part of the project. And yeah, the mention in the show is out on Cadena Ceneice and also available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor. I sound like reading a lineup, but yeah, it's all the platforms we are available at.
Yeah. So I got, from my end, obviously, I got to read the article online. I thought it was pretty cool. My parents loved it. My parents actually got pretty emotional. They thanked me. They told me that my grandparents would be super proud of me. My grandma thanked me. So I want to take this time and absolutely thank you, Francisco, Facundo, and both Nikos who aren't here with us right now. But you know, obviously, thanks to you guys. This project has been a huge credit to you guys as well.
Of course, excuse me, Gabe, of course, that whenever we meet, this newspaper will move from my hands to yours, of course, I had to go to three different places to find it, because it was by 9:30, many, many newspaper places given to the pandemic just open. They give out all the papers they have arranged with the neighbors of the streets in where they are, mm-hmm. and then they close down. That's what happens with the one I have in the corner of my street. Mm. So I have to look a little bit, but I finally got it.
Yeah, because my uncle who lives in Cordoba, he went out to try and find it, and he didn't have any luck. He couldn't get it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think that we should point out for the listeners is that Diadole became the most important website for sports, newspaper for sports. I remember, you know, growing up in Argentina, and I'm sure that probably if I'm the same, when internet did not exist, you know, we used to go and buy Olé every morning, probably every single day. That's the thing that my dad always gave me in the mornings to read about, mm-hmm. you know, sports news and all that. It's a very Buenos Aires newspaper, but it's huge all around the nation. So it's, you know, it's huge for us to be recognized like that on a huge newspaper.
Absolutely. Olé is such a huge. It was born in 1996, and it's very famous because of a very informal style on the headlines, on the way of writing, the using of nicknames. For example, I studied in Deportea, which is a very important institute to study the course to become a sports journalist. And for example, a little detail. The teachers always taught us not to use nicknames, referring to clubs or players. But for example, Olé is the style, like for example, the Sun, the newspaper The Sun, which is very sensationalist and very informal. Well, that's the style of Olé, and it's been discussed and all, but they have absolutely no opposition as well. There isn't any other sports news outlet, daily outlet in Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to add to that, if anybody came close, it was definitely El Gráfico, although they were a little bit more magazine-oriented.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit of a different style of writing additionally, and I think it came out, I don't know, once a month, once a week, something like that.
Yeah, it used to be. It depends on the years. When I remember being 7, 8, 9 years old, and they have even up to 2 weeks, two editions on them by week. One on Tuesday with everything after the match day on Sunday, and a new one on Thursday, anticipating what was coming ahead. That was for a lot of time. Then it turned into a weekly magazine, and then after the 2000s, it just started to be once a month until it disappeared. But yeah, El Gráfico existed for over 90 years. And it's the international reference of Argentina by far.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are different kind of products as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, again, congratulations, Gabi. You know, who would have thought, right? Like 2 years after you started this, you would be...
I know.
Yeah, indeed.
It's a big, big milestone for you, for us, for people, you know, recognizing us. So, you know, kudos to you and to all of us. So it's fascinating, and we need to keep pushing. So, you know, more listeners listen to us. So that's why we wanted to have a podcast right after this.
Absolutely. No. Like I already said, thank you guys. You guys have been a huge help, huge part of this project as well. You guys deserve just as much credit as you guys have given me. And to the listeners, of course, who are listening every week, every month, whenever they listen, this is a win for them as well. So definitely huge. One thing I do want to add on Diario Olé, their best-selling magazine or newspaper was the day after Boca beat Real Madrid, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? From 2000, Boca World Champions. I think that's their best-selling newspaper edition.
Yeah, possibly the best, the most important edition in a long, long time. Alongside a day that it's also very special for me, but it means nothing to Boca Juniors. In 2004, the 28th of the August 28th, it was the day that Argentina, after 52 years, won an Olympic gold medal, and they were two in the same day. The football one, led by Carlos Tevez in 2000 in Athens in the Olympics. Also the basketball national team, which is regarded as the best national team that Argentina has ever had in any sport, on top of football, of tennis, or whatever. A brilliant group known as the Golden Generation, with Manu Ginobili, Fabrizio Oberto, Luis Scola, and some other NBA stars. And they were the two biggest days, possibly, for Olé in all the history.
Absolutely. Yeah, those were huge days for them. So moving along, we're going to get into the little bit that there is to talk about in terms of the transfer market. Let's start with possible arrivals. And again, there's not much on this. Mauricio Isla, the Chilean right back, he confirmed that he is leaving Fenerbahce. Fenerbahce also confirmed the same news. Mauricio Isla, from my understanding, and you guys can obviously jump in, interject if you have any more information, but from what I've read, is that he is listening to other offers from Europe, but he looks like he's going to be the one and only signing for Boca this transfer window, to sort of compete for that right back position with Julio Buffarini. If I guess I'll propose a question. If you guys were, I don't know how much you've seen of Isla. I've only seen him for the Chilean national team in the Copa Americas. Of course, you guys can obviously say the same. Who would you pick if you had to pick between Buffarini and Isla? I'll go with Facundo first. Oh, go ahead, Fran. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Facu. Sorry.
That's a big question. Obviously, Buffag have been playing better and better in the last 6 months. However, it's good to have competition. And I think that Isla is a fantastic player with a good, international and European background. You know, he played Juventus, Fenerbahce, Marseille. He played in England, Udinese, in the national team for Chile. He won tournaments with Chile. So he'll be a huge backup for Buffa. I mean, like we always say, it's not easy to just go to Boca and adapt. Yeah. However, Chileans tend to adapt very well to Argentinian football. So we'll see how it goes.
Especially this Chilean national team, right?
Correct. Yeah, but let's say we got to see how everybody comes back from, you know, the quarantine, no working out, not being, you know, not playing with the ball. Everybody's pretty rusty.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard to decide who is started right now. I mean, if you look at some players in Europe, they came out with a belly, and we don't know if that's going to happen in Argentina. But I think it's a fantastic backup player. If he comes as a free agent, why not? I would definitely take it and see how it goes.
Yeah, go ahead, Francisco.
Well, I have to say that, yeah, he would be a fantastic signing, despite it. I don't know if it's the spot on the field that we should look after. That's my only doubt. But yeah, Isla is part of the big rebirth of Chilean football, with that amazing generation of players that emerged in the Under-20 World Cup in Canada in 2007, arriving to semifinals, with names like Alexis Sanchez, Arturo Vidal, Isla himself, and Gary Medel, for example, on top. And then they joined in 2000, and when Chile came back to a World Cup after two absences in 2010, a very young team with him, with all those guys. Also, Jorge Valdivia, Marc Gonzalez, the one who was in Liverpool. Gonzalo Jara, who is now playing in Argentina as well, in Estudiantes. Claudio Bravo, the goalkeeper. It's an excellent generation. that did a fantastic World Cup in 2014. And then, of course, beat Argentina in two Copa America finals in 2015 and 16. The only thing that makes me doubt a little bit, Isla has stated a few times that he feels better playing as a wing back with three center backs, like playing a 3-4-3 or 3-5-2. And that's not the way Boca plays. It's very typical of Marcelo Bielsa, of Claudio Borghi, and Jorge Sampaoli, the coaches he had in the national team of Chile, but not so typical in Boca or Argentinian football. That's my only doubt. But yeah, if he was one-on-one with Buffarini, I am sure that he would finish, he would end up earning the spot as a starter, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know what? I have to agree. One of the main differences between the two, and this is as simple as football gets, is just their delivery. Isla can deliver a perfect ball in the box. Buffarini, I don't know what it is, but he has a lot of difficulty doing that. He's an aggressive player, a tough player to get past. He's like a tank, sort of, but his deliveries in terms of crosses isn't the best, and this could also help out Soldano a lot. Soldano is a player who wins a lot of aerial duels and could definitely score a couple of headers from Isla's crosses. So that's one of the things I'm looking at. Two good points that you guys pointed out. Facundo said that Isla is coming in as a free agent, so Boca don't have to pay a transfer fee. Francisco, you said that it's not the ideal position we should be looking at, and I agree. But I think this would be the exception for the fact that Facundo brought up. It's a free transfer, so why not? In that position, if we start to look at the players that are with the possibility of leaving, Nahuel Molina, he's departing the club. He will not sign another contract with Boca. Nahuel Molina spent a year in Rosario Central, and he had some really good performances, especially against us. So I think most fans, including myself, were looking forward to seeing him with the blue and gold. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. His contract runs out in just a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks. And it looks like he's going, according to Italian outlets, he's going to sign for Udinese. So we're going to take him on a free transfer. Boca's not going to get anything, unfortunately. But I think if you combine all that, and Nahuel Molina leaving, Chilo Wigan is a little bit uncertainty with him. He went back to the reserve team. I think it's a solid pickup if we do bring in Isla. In terms of other players being rumored to join Boca, of course, the Ricardo Centurion rumors are always there. Cristian Pavon is always there. I just want to say one thing on Cristian Pavon. A lot of outlets are saying that he does have that LA Galaxy will not pay his buyout clause. I'm sorry, his buyout clause to keep him. They will negotiate another different type of deal. A lot of them are saying that Pavon is likely to just return to Boca. But there's one major point that a lot of outlets are not mentioning, and personally, my favorite journalist, Claudio Civiello, he's the only one that mentions this, is that the deal that was signed in case that LA Galaxy did not keep Pavon and Pavon did indeed return to Boca is that Boca would have to pay his current salary. So the exact same salary that LA Galaxy is paying Pavon, Boca is going to have to take care of that. That's the deal. That's the contract that was signed. And we don't know if Boca is willing to do that. So LA Galaxy could use that in their favor to negotiate a lower transfer fee. I don't know what you guys think.
I think the only outcome will be a forced transfer for a lower price than his buyout clause, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't get you wrong, if I didn't get you wrong, Gabi, sorry, Facu, Boca would have to equalize the salary that LA is paying to Pavon.
Same wages, yeah.
Wow. I don't think Boca can do that. I'm sure that he will be having a great contract in United States, so I don't think that can happen. I would really love to see Pavon back in Boca, and I would really like to see him having a second chance, being already on his way to turn 25 years old. He's not a young guy anymore, and I'm sure that a second chance, he would really appreciate it. I'm sure. I would really like to see him again.
Yeah, I feel the same as Fan. You know, I think that Pong has a lot to give still. And maybe with Russo, maybe, you know, all the players, you know, putting him into the right track, he could be a solid asset. However, I don't think he's going to come back unless, you know, something happened with Villa and his situation with the Argentinian justice, with everything that's happening with him and, you know, his ex-wife. However, it's been looking that Vija is going to stay. So if Vija stays, I don't think that Pavone is going to come back, and more if Boca has to pay a huge salary. I mean, you guys know how big salaries are in the US. So yeah. If he comes back and we can pay him, give it to me, you know, still good. But I really don't think it's going to happen at all. But again, Pavone is still young. He had some Argentinian national team's experience. He played a World Cup. Still a good player. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Boca can afford the luxury of hanging on to both Villa and Pavone like they did the past couple of years under Guillermo. So yeah. we're really going to have to see what happens with that. I think Pavone, I agree with you guys, fantastic player. I just think we have to put him on the right track. And I hate that I even have to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up anyways. To get an enormous chest tattoo of an eagle a couple of days before a big-time match is, in my eyes, unacceptable. But I think that was a pretty good reflection of the way the club was being run at that time, from all the way from the top, from the head honcho, all the way down to the janitor. I feel like players got away with a lot of things that they really shouldn't have. I think that under Bianchi or Russo or Basile, that just wouldn't have gone well. You simply can't get a huge tattoo like that, knowing the implications of playing an important match a couple of days later or a week later. So I think in terms of that, the attitude needs to change. The club needs to work on that, guide him in the right direction. But in terms of his footballing aspect, we could get that back without a doubt.
Gabe, let me add just one more thing, connecting it with what we have just been talking about, Isla. Mm-hmm. Let's suppose that Boca can't arrange terms with LA and Pavone doesn't return, and let's suppose that Sebastián Villa's situation has no way back. Let's remember, Sebastián Villa is right now kind of set apart of the squad because of he has been charged with violence. Can you explain it, Gabe?
Sexual harassment.
It's being labeled as domestic abuse. That's the category that they would call it here in the mm-hmm. United States.
Right now, okay, that's it. Thanks, Gabe. Right now, the justice has to act and to say whether if he's innocent or not, and there is a big possibility that he can't stay in the club. So thinking about that possible scenario, Boca would have to go right away and find a new mm-hmm. left wing.
Yeah,
I'm sure that Ricardo Centurion will be the first one in line to be talked to.
Yeah, but not,
then instead of looking for Isla, we should go and try to sign a left wing to play with Salvi on the right.
So looking ahead, you know, Centurion he's not going to be available in 6 months. You would have to pick him up now, which is what you're obviously hinting at. No, I agree. I mean, if I had to pick between Pavone and Centurion, I know you brought up the case at Pavone. In the case that Pavone isn't able to return, we go ahead and go for Centurion. But I think out of the two, I'm sticking with Pavone. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I would pick Pavone too.
He would come back, to be honest.
You said Pavone? Pavone Facu?
The values. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. We just didn't get the name.
Ah, Centurion coming back. I don't think that, you know, would go with the values that this administration's been trying to impose in Boca. Yeah. I mean, Centurion is involved in abuse as well.
Yeah.
And since day one, our administration been telling, you know, how we're not going to condole that.
Yeah.
And he already had 2-3 chances with Boca. Like, he's not Messi. And even if Messi was Messi and he was involved with abuse, I would still not like him on my team. So... I don't want Centurion to come back. That's my opinion. I don't care how good he is. It would be dumb to fire Villa and bring Centurion. It's like you're firing a bad apple and bringing another bad apple. It doesn't make sense.
Contradictory, yeah.
Correct. So that's football aside.
I agree 100%.
Okay. I would not like that to happen, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. There's a really good Twitter page or a journalist. Actually, he's not a journalist. I'm sorry. He's a writer for Gaines Anese. I forget his name. But he's huge on statistics, and he brought up the stats comparing Pavone and Centurion. And in the last 4 years, Pavon has been the number one contributor in terms of goals and assists in Argentine football in the past 4 years. And Centurion wasn't even in like the top two or three players. So we would get a lot more production out of Pavon. Again, just looking at the football aspect, but I completely agree with what you said in terms of outside of football, it would be a little weird to go ahead and get rid of Villa and bring in Centurion when they have similar allegations against them. So, I don't know if anybody has anything else to add. Otherwise, we'll move forward.
Yeah, that's true. Otherwise, I don't know if Agustino Bando is ready to be part of the first team. But if not, then we should put all our support on him. If not, I'm right now looking at Agustin Ursi in my TV screen. He's doing some dribbling with the ball on TV. He's the left wing of Banfield, of the under 23 national team of Argentina. I'm sure Boca would have to pay a lot of money, but if not, it would be a dream for me.
Yeah, I think that's more so of a dream. I heard this morning that the Ursi and I think their goalkeeper are their players to sell this transfer market, because Banfield are really in need for the money. I don't know what
Claudio Bravo could be the other one, but he's a left back.
Yes, that's what I read. Not the goalkeeper. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ursi would be awesome. Another player, Obando isn't really a winger. He's more of a volante por izquierda, left midfielder. So I don't know if we could implement Obando in that position. But maybe, it might be too early, but it's, I don't know. Ceballos from, he's not even the reserve team. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, Ezequiel, he's just 18 years old. I would really like that he could be considered, but I think it would be too early.
Yeah. So I don't know. Boca has an issue on their hands that they're going to have to sort out in terms of that. But if we start looking
at another name, bring another name to the wish list.
Uh huh.
Maxi Mesa.
Mm. Yeah, but you know,
Emiliano Mesa, 32 years old, already played in Mexico, already played a World Cup with Argentina. A very versatile player from the midfield onwards. I would have a look at him.
He's still in Mexico, no?
Yeah, he is, and I think an Independiente is in a very difficult situation regarding financials. So it's impossible that they go back. They go and try to bring him back.
Yeah, the good thing about him, he's like you said, he has some World Cup experience. He's young. He's 27. I mean, he's playing in Monterrey right now, 40 matches. The big question there would be, number one, how much are they paying him in Mexico? Number two, if he's willing to come back from Independiente or being like an Independiente prospect to Boca jersey. I feel like every time another player that is very connected with another club come back to Boca, it's just a big deal. We see that every day with Zárate. So we'll see if he wants to come back and that kind of like controversy. But he would be a good backup if he comes for free. I mean, I take him.
What about the other one? The other one that played for Independiente, that played for Belgrano before Independiente, who moved over to
Rigoni.
Rigoni, Manuel Rigoni. He has international experience with the national team.
Yeah, Emiliano Rigoni, but I don't remember to have seen that. I have seen him playing on the left wing, always on the right.
Oh, he was a right winger. Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, and he's in Europe.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Good luck bringing him back. You know?
A couple of years
he's still in age to stay in Europe. So
yeah, it's very difficult. Super young, so.
Mesa too? No, is Mesa really 32? I thought he's a lot younger than that.
No, yeah, Facu is right. I was thinking about born in 88 and did the calculation, but no, he's from 1992. My quick way of calculating the age is trying to remember.
He's 27, 28?
27.
Turning 28, yeah, he's from 1992, so turning 28 in 2020. Yeah, Facu was right.
So he's super young, same with Rigoni. Rigoni is 27 as well, so... I wouldn't come back if I was in Europe.
Well, Rigoni might be a little bit different because he's in Russia. It's really cold over there, so maybe he might want to go to...
Well, but I think he's on a loan in Italy. I don't know when the loan expires, but I think he's in Italy right now.
I thought he was in Italy. I think he went back to Zenit. don't think they kept him in Italy. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he came back to Zenit from, he was in Sampdoria, but I think he's now, he should be back in Zenit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, loan expires February 2020.
Yeah.
Back in Russia.
Yep. Transfer. I'm looking at his transfer market right now. I'm trying to see what they value. His current market value is 6.6 million.
Not bad.
So it's not bad. But let's talk about the players with the possibility of leaving the team. I'm not sure if we already touched on Junior Alonso. Francisco, did you want to go ahead and speak about Junior Alonso real quick?
Yeah, Alonso was set to stay. Mm-hmm. He had a transfer. There was a buyout clause on a bit more than 3 million euros, which Boca was willing to pay. Otherwise, he should have returned to Lille, the team from the Ligue 1 from France. He was on loan at Boca from Lille. Boca was very keen to pay the 3 million euros and sign him. Alonso always expressed to be very happy at the club. In my personal opinion, he did really well as a backup, and he deserved and he earned the transfer to stay in Boca. However, in the quarantine, he was stuck in Buenos Aires with all his family in Paraguay. Argentina has been, and particularly Buenos Aires, has been in a very strict lockdown since mid-March. We are in mid-June right now, and we are already heading to 3 months of nearly full quarantine. And everything is very restricted. And Alonso started to feel really, really bad. He had a lot of public runs at the Paraguayan government in order to allow him and some other countrymen and some other Paraguayan players that are in the Superliga in different clubs to return to their country. He finally could. And now that he was about to leave, suddenly Atlético Mineiro appeared and is working on a transfer. And it seems to be completely said that he is leaving Boca and possibly joining Atlético Mineiro. Lots of things were said. It was said that he actually was lying, that he only was looking for a higher contract somewhere else. The truth is that he's no longer part of the team. And Boca has one center back less, only with Izquierdos, with López, with Zambrano, and with Gaston Ávila. He's now the new fourth man in the band.
Yeah, I mean, great summary, Francisco. I'm just going to have a few words before I take it over to Facundo so he could give his thoughts. I've always said whoever doesn't want to be in Boca, I don't want them there, and I don't care what their name is. It makes no sense to hang on to a player who, for whatever reason, they don't want to be there. His performances will not be the best. He shouldn't have lied. I think that's not the right way to do things. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I want to leave. I'm looking for better wages elsewhere. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that. You might get some heat for it, but hey, at least you're not lying. So, I mean, it is what it is. Facundo, go ahead. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the Junior Alonso situation.
Well, for me, he's done my head. I mean, I want him closer to us. I want nothing with him. I don't like when people lie like that, putting your family as an excuse and then going that direction. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good on your resume. It doesn't look good in life. I don't like it. If I was Boca, I would execute the buy him and sell him for more money, get something out of it. I mean, I hate when they use Boca as a window to go to a better contract or a better club in Europe. I'm not very happy with that, and I will hold it against him for a very, very long time. I mean, he's not that important in our history, and he was never that important, but there's some things that you should not do. And I hope Boca does something about it so they get at least some money. I mean, if it wasn't because of us, he would not be where he's going now. So I was not very happy, but whatever. He's an average player. He's going to end up playing in, you know, worst team in probably a year or two. And yeah, I'm a little bit bitter.
Yeah, I could tell. It's okay.
I think I dare to say that Facu is a little bit upset.
No, yeah. I mean, no, I don't want to curse on the podcast, but yeah. Come on, dude. You're better than that.
I know. I mean, come on. It's 2020. I was actually arguing with somebody on Twitter about this. The person arguing with me was getting mad at the club at Boca for releasing that statement. But it's not Boca's fault. Boca, I think, did the right thing. This is something we haven't seen in a really long time. The club released a statement to clear all doubts as to why the player was leaving. The player said he wants to leave family issues. Because of family issues, that's fine. Boca released a statement letting everybody know to clear any doubts, any false information. Now, if the player was lying, that's another situation that has nothing to do with Boca. Like I said, I think it's unfortunate. I think, like I was saying to this Twitter follower, it's 2020. We know players have to secure a certain amount of money for their children, for them, for their children in the next couple of years after they retire. That's fine. Just say you're looking for better wages and that's it. It's not that big of a deal. It is what it is.
Yeah. And anyway, I feel that it's a very hard place for the player as well, because we know they are professionals and they need to secure the future. And if they let's think of ourselves. If I can be working in a company, for example, some media, I can feel happy. I can live a good life. I can be successful. But I don't know if suddenly another publication, another TV channel, another whatever offers me a higher salary, then can put me in a bigger level. I can consider it, and yeah. I can't blame or point at anybody without knowing if I wouldn't do the same thing. Also, if I am. Brutally honest and say, yeah, I would consider the offer, I have to resign and leave. I condition myself. It's what happened with Mauro Zárate. Zárate said that he was only to play, the only club he would play for in Argentina was Vélez. Suddenly Boca came up and he started receiving death threats. Mm-hmm. Himself and all his family. His wife recovered from cancer and she started to receive so mean harassment on social media, and just because he said the truth. I would stick to Zárate's side, to Zárate's side, and do what he did, but at the same time I would ask fans to stop having that kind of expectations. We yeah. can't pretend that Alonso says, yeah, I want to stay in Boca all my fucking life. I'm sorry for mm-hmm. that word, but
it's all right. That's why I turn on explicit content.
Sorry. It's sorry. Right. Excuse me, Mr. Spotify. Excuse me, Mr. Ole. Excuse me, Mr. Google, Mr. Apple Podcast. Excuse me, everyone. We can't expect players to say that kind of things because they will not stick to their words.
Yeah.
And we must start to accept that players are professionals, and we must understand that they will not commit with any club.
Mm-hmm. 100%, but don't lie either. Don't come out saying that.
But Facu, I
because of your family.
You are right, Facu. But if a player tells the truth and says that he's a professional player, and if he receives a higher offer, he will leave the club he's playing for. He can't go on, and he can't deal with the reply he's going to get from the fans and from the media.
You can also choose not to talk.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can stay mute forever.
You can say, hey, I don't know anything about it. Let me talk to my manager. That's what I'm paying him for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. That could be true, but I don't know if every player can do that.
Well, yeah, that's, be smarter then.
Yeah, you both have brought up really good points, and you're both absolutely right. It's just about honesty. If you want to leave the club, just say the truth as to why you're leaving, or don't speak. That simple. At the same time, like Francisco was saying, don't come out, Junior Alonso, we don't expect him to say, or we shouldn't expect him to say, I want to stay at Boca for the rest of my life. This is the greatest team in the world. I love you guys. You know, we honestly can't expect a player to say that either.
That's a lie too.
Yeah, exactly.
We know that lots of people
want to hear that.
No, evidently, that would be a lie as well. So it's just about having that transparency, that honesty with the fans. It is a little upsetting that he is going to a Brazilian team strictly for wages, because anybody, even in Brazil, even Atlético Mineiro fans will tell you Boca is a bigger team. We will always be bigger than Atlético Mineiro, whatever club from Brazil. Unfortunately, though, that due to an economic aspect of the countries that both countries are going through, we can't compete economically with them. And that is the unfortunate aspect. But yeah, I don't think is, I think we cleared everybody from this list with the possibility of leaving Junior Alonso, Nahuel Molina. Mm-hmm.
There were some rumors on Julio Buffarini, but he quickly said that he wants to stay here.
There were links with Corinthians. Targeted
by Brazil.
Yeah, Corinthians, I think it was. And they also ruled out the rumors. Carlos Tevez, it looks like he's going to stay. Mauro Zárate, Boca has to negotiate with him. And then with Soldano as well, I think Boca has to pay $5 million in order to purchase Soldano from Olympiacos or renegotiate a new loan. I think Boca is going to go with the latter option to renegotiate another loan. Marcos Diaz left as well. His loan, he was on loan, right?
But the transfer belonged to him, not to Huracan. Exactly.
Free agent.
Gustavo Alfaro arrived from Huracan in January 2019. And since Marcos Diaz's contract expired, he was already 34, 35 years old. And he had the chance of his life to play for Boca. So he came as a free agent, but his transfer still belonged to him. So Boca arranged a sort of a loan, paying him a contract, which expired now in June. And he didn't renew. Because accomplishing the milestone of playing for Boca, he now wants to be a first choice. He is very aware that he can't compete with Andrada, so he preferred to leave. Now Agustin Rossi must come back from Lanús on loan, and I'm sure we will have the same problem again because we have two first choice keepers. So that will be that will lead us to trouble. But it's the way. Things should go on now with Andrada and Rossi.
Absolutely. You mentioned Rossi, so let me get in the list of the players who are going to return. So you mentioned Agustin Rossi, the goalkeeper from Lanús. Olaza, there's some new information on Olaza, which I'm going to go ahead and read right now. So Olaza had agreed to extend his loan with Celta de Vigo for an extra 6 months because of the pandemic. Situation has delayed La Liga, the end of La Liga season. So it looks like Olaza, apparently he was going to stay for another 6 months until the end of 2020, but now Dato Hilera just released some information saying that Celta Vigo are asking Boca to take care of a certain percentage of his wages, which Boca are obviously not willing to do. So he could potentially return this transfer window in the next couple of weeks, so we have to see how that unfolds. Chico, he's a midfielder, I believe. He's going to return. I think he was in, I can't remember. What team was he with, Francisco?
I think he was in Patronato in Paraná.
Patronato, okay. Walter Wo, he was with Unión de Santa Fe, if I'm not mistaken, forward. He's returning as well. Nazareno Solís, I have no idea where he's playing. Aldo Civi, no? Or I think it was Aldo
Civi.
Yeah,
I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was in Aldo Civi, yes.
So a winger, Chelo Torres has agreed to stay at Bafos FC. It's a team based in, I can't think of the country right now, in a really small European country, but they're going Cyprus. To purchase 50%.
Chipre, maybe.
Cyprus, yes, correct.
Cyprus.
Yeah. I think they're hanging on to 50% of his transfer rights. Gonzalo Maroni, he's returning from Italy. Guido Badala, I think. Where was Badala?
I think he was in Uruguay, I think.
Uruguay?
Guido Badala. If you give me a second, I can tell you right now.
He was, I'm reading, he was in Charlotte Independence in the USL.
Here in the USL. Wow.
Yeah, after a short spell in Colombia and Chile. I think that's the full list, Gabe.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think the only one, apart Mateo from Olaza, Retegi. He was, I think from all those, apart from Olaza, I think Retegi is the one that played the most in the club he was loaned to alongside Chico. But Estudiantes, he was in Estudiantes de La Plata, playing with names like Javier Mascherano and Marcos Rojo.
Mm-hmm.
He had a transfer, his buyout clause was $800,000. $800,000. And Estudiantes was not going to pay. So he should be back. I think the only one that has chances of staying is Maroni. I don't think that Bou or Retegi can stay. I don't know, back on the left wing problem, if Solís stayed and said, I want to stay and fight for a place, possibly he could end up playing. I don't know. I don't know if he's at the level of, he's not at the level of Villa or Pavón, but if there is no other choice and nobody comes and Centurión doesn't come, and if Pavón doesn't come back, and if Villa leaves, well, he would be one of the available names.
Mm-hmm. I think, personally, before we go over to Facundo so we could get his thoughts on the list, I don't think Solís has any chance of staying. I think Boca would probably just switch the formation, the way of playing, maybe implement a different style of player. Maybe Maroni, who knows, but I don't think Solís has any chances of staying. I think out of that list, the only two who have realistic chances of staying are Agustin Rossi and Olaza. Those two. In terms of who I would like to stay, I would have to say the same thing. I think Agustin Rossi had a phenomenal campaign with Lanús. I think he would be a really good backup to Andrada. And Olaza to compete for Fabra for that left-back spot. I think we couldn't ask for more in terms of those two. In terms of everybody else who a deal wasn't already agreed upon, I think we should loan him out again. I don't know. What do you think, Facundo?
I think pretty much the same as you guys. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but I can give you my opinion of what I wish it will happen. I would like to Olaza to come back. I think that he'll be a good backup for Fabra or to compete against him.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I feel like I want Bou to stay. I mean, I feel we don't have enough forwards, and the way things are going, I don't think we're going to buy any forwards. When Chope gets injured, and even though Soldano is a center forward, I don't think we can fight the Libertadores with just a player like Soldano, his style. Maybe having Bou, somebody that scored some goals in a Super Clásico, scored some goals when he came in.
Yeah.
Why not? You know. Mm-hmm. To be honest, another one that I liked and gave me a good impression is Maroni.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sub. Just keep Maroni as a sub. How much can he cost us? You know, salary wise.
RT.
Never know. Correct.
RT retweet. I agree with you.
I mean, I'm still very skeptical to see how our players are going to come back for this quarantine COVID situation. So if we have an extra player that is young, motivated, pushed to be better as Maroni, I mean, he gave very good feelings when he played, two, three years ago. And he knows Argentina League. He's been playing Talleres for a little bit. So why not? Then I'm a little conflicted with Rossi. No, I lied to you. All depends if Andrada leaves or not. I mean, I do not want Rossi to come back if Andrada is still with us, because I would like to have Manuel Rojo as a sub. You know what I mean? However, if Rossi stays and Andrada stays, I feel like we're relegating Rojo. So it all depends what happens with Andrada. If Andrada leaves or something happens, yes, bring Rossi. If Andrada stays, sell Rossi or send him out on a loan. Those are my thoughts with these kind of players. All the rest, I'm still shocked that Badalai is playing here in the U.S., in the USL. I mean, I was thinking about trying out for a USL team.
Would you go to Boca as a free agent if Roman calls you?
I need to lose a few pounds, but if Russo puts me in a strict diet, maybe just to bother, just to be there and just take pictures of them. But yeah, I mean, out of those lists, I think those are my points for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can make a really good case for Walter Rowe, and I completely miss Maroni. I would definitely consider Maroni as a solid backup. With Rossi, I don't even think he would want to be a backup to Andrada. I heard his agent a couple of days ago said that he wouldn't want to be a backup to Andrada. So maybe we could cash in on him and bring Emmanuel Rojo as a substitute, as a backup. But Emmanuel Rojo, he plays a position, the goalkeeper position, in which you don't have to start playing at 21, 22, 23 years old. You can afford to sort of wait a little longer, but he's still really young. I mean, Abbondanzieri waited a really long time in order to take care of that.
Sorry, Gabe. Abbondanzieri wasn't even the first choice keeper when he was the age Andrada is right now.
And yeah, Abbondanzieri waited a
already
while.
Been 2 years.
You know, Andrada's 29, so look at that. He's another example.
Yeah, exactly. And Abbondanzieri only started to be part of our rotation system when in 2001, Carlos Bianchi decided to give Abbondanzieri the chance to play the local league and while Oscar Córdoba was playing the Copa Libertadores. In that moment, the Copa Libertadores was played in all 6 months. Yeah. So if you did all the way in the Copa, you would have over 15 matches mm-hmm. to play the whole tournament in 6 months. It's different than now. You couldn't make a keeper play enough if you try to do that right now, because it would be only the group stage or the knockout phase. It's not the same. But Rojo has a great future ahead. He is considered to be one of the keepers in the Olympics, since there will be no over 23 players. He has a lot of potential, and he must stay in Boca. People have to wait for him. He should be given the chance, but not to rush. He's a great keeper and has a bright future ahead.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. Andrada, right? He's, 29, you guys said?
Yeah, I think it's 29, yeah.
He's 29. He's been killing it. The national team is calling him every once in a while. I mean, wouldn't you just give him a top three contract so, you know, no one from you would take him? He's 29. Just give him a big contract. Tell him to stay for 3-4 years. And he might be going to the World Cup if he continue his level here. Boca's mm-hmm. a huge window when it comes to keepers or defenders to get call up. So, I don't know. I'm not a manager. I'm not a part of the board. Just give him a top three. Give him, some backup saying, hey, you're very important to us. If there's something that comes from Europe, stay. Yeah. You have opportunity to be higher paid in Argentina, starting for Boca, playing the Libertadores, and maybe the World Cup in 2 years. If you do your due diligences, I don't know. I feel like he's the most important player for us right now. And
I agree.
We should hand him the money that not that he asked for, but at least, sweet talk him a little bit.
Yeah, I think he should be our best paid player. I definitely agree. At 29, who knows? Maybe we could keep him till he's 33. And then at 33, he moves to a European club, obviously not a top European club, but a mid-table team. And he cashes in for the next 3, 4, or 5 years even. Who knows? But I think we do a really good job with keeping him. I think that's it for this episode, though. Any final thoughts? I'll bring it to Francisco first.
Nothing to say. Nothing to add. Andrada is possibly the best player in Boca. He was in 2019. We all agree discussing that in the podcast. Unless a big, big European club like Paris Saint-Germain, as it was rumored, or Barcelona or Real Madrid or Inter or any of those comes, if they come and Andrada wants to leave, I would say, okay, Esteban, thank you very much. Enjoy. Have a great future ahead. But if not, I think we should do our best to try to keep him.
Yeah, I agree. Facundo?
Nothing on the players. Once again, I want to congratulate with the interview, the article with Ale.
Thank you, buddy.
I think
thank
it's you, huge for you. People recognize you and all that. I'm very happy that you brought me in a few months ago. So I appreciate that. Nothing else. I hope everybody stays safe. And, thanks for having me in the podcast again.
Absolutely. I think in terms of players that we got to keep, Andrada, Campuzano, and Salvio, that for me would be a dream. If they stay in Boca for the rest of their lives, all three of them, I'm fine, because they're my three favorite players at Boca right now. But like Facundo said, we hope everybody stays safe. Stay inside. Don't go out. Let's try and hang in there a couple more weeks or months longer till this is all over. But thank you so much for listening, and until next time.